Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Wow, wow, wow.
Why wow on this?
The Graduate.
What was that, Anne Bancroft?
Anne Bancroft Jack.
Left its seeds while I was sleeping.
Fought off the horde with a cross from the church, you remember that?
I mean, there's so much symbolism. Doug, you can sit back and enjoy some peyote and watch The Graduate with me this evening in the Elysium Restoration and Design Basement. That's where I watched Missouri last night with my son as I lost hundreds of dollars on the Tigers.
Okay.
Woot, 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 woot.
But you still had a beautiful basement, and you got to dwell on the positive.
That's right. And now, I've got to reload the roll.
That basement wraps around you, kind of like that fleece
blanket.
Did on Doug.
We're giving away for the Hot Shots email of the day. Yeah. TJ Moe and I talked about it. We talked about it here at the studios. We talked about it at Randy Markell, the station owner's Christmas party. We loved Missouri minus 3 points. I wound up having to give 3.5, so I was damn well doomed. I didn't even get a sweat out of it. And I shipped the roll, which means the roll is gone. Joining us right now to talk it over, Taylor Jacob Moe. Doug, you know him as TJ on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Hello, TJ.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
I lost a lot of money. Your thoughts?
This is why I do not, like, I am all about commenting on bowl games, but I have experienced enough bowl games to never put my own money on them.
Yeah.
Because they are not actually a part of the season, and I think we should stop treating them like they are. You have to take a week off. You get a dead week where you're not even allowed to have a single meeting while the kids take finals. And their brains are just on trying to make sure they pass this class and stay eligible. So that's where they go. They are sleep deprived. A lot of kids, you guys remember college, you're pulling all-nighters trying to figure out how you're going to pass this, Stats 3500 class. And then when you do get back to practice, mostly the backups are playing. And then you get 15 practices and you kind of treat it like spring ball, largely because they're trying to get some work in for the guys that are going to be playing next year and into the spring. So you have a lot of freshmen playing, a lot of your 2-3D playing, and the starters are just kind of staying warm. And then you try to implement an entire game plan in 3 or 4 days down in a foreign environment in Houston, Texas, in this case, while the kids don't really have a curfew for the first couple days. And it's really a bad formula for winning, and we treat it like it's right there in the end of the season, like it's all right. You get this magical 13th game, but it's really nothing like the season. And every team's makeup is different. It has to do with the coaching staff. Nick Saban seems, and the Utah coach seem to be able to get their guys focused, but largely the rest of America struggles with it.
TJ, let me start with this specific to the post game comments from Marcel Frazier. He was going after Josh Heupel and Glenn Ellerbe for going to UCF and leaving the program without an offensive coordinator and offensive line coach for the last month, and then citing Scott Frost sticking around UCF and coaching them in the Peach Bowl against Auburn this Saturday. I'm curious, you of course would have a much better idea than any of us. To me, it seems like that's commonplace for a coach when he leaves to also leave the program. And so that was surprising to me to read that criticism, but maybe I'm wrong on that. And then secondarily, how much of an impact do you think the offensive coordinator / offensive line coach not being there played in what we saw last night against Texas?
First of all, I think you're right. It is commonplace. I just don't agree with it specifically in this case because Scott Frost was there coaching. So it's not like this is a team you're taking over that wasn't in a bowl game and you could go immediately and just sort of take over things and get rolling and meet all your players and go from there. Scott Frost is still coaching his team. They haven't even played yet. So when you have that, Josh Heupel and Glenn Ellerbe could still be coaching at Missouri right now. And I understand the conflict of interest and whatever, but Kirby Smart did it.
You know, let me ask you that, because that's a very good point. This is different than your standard play. Like, Kevin Sumlin's not hanging around College Station anymore, so Jimbo right. Fisher's there, and that's why you had the interim in Willie Taggart sidelines yesterday for Florida State and Southern Miss in the Independence Bowl. Along those lines, does Barry Odom, does the university want Josh Heupel still there for this additional month, or when this happens, does a head coach want the guy who has just taken a head coaching position at another school to stick around, or does he want him gone for fear that it could impact potentially leading to some guys going, God, I want to follow Coach Heupel down to Orlando?
Well, you'd be hard-pressed to find any kids that want to follow Josh Heupel down to Orlando. One, I don't think he was particularly loved by the players, and two, the only kids that would want to go down and play for UCF are the ones that are maybe from Florida, and they probably chose Missouri over UCF. If they're from right there, they probably had an offer from UCF and decided to come to Mizzou instead. So my guess is you wouldn't lose a single player to Josh Heupel. I think maybe there would be a difference if, for instance, like the Kirby Smart thing, right? Like Kirby Smart, if you didn't trust him, that he was not going to be trying to poach your players and take them to Georgia. You got a bunch of five-star backups that aren't going to play until their third year at Alabama. That's kind of a threat. Josh Heupel is not taking any kids from Missouri down to Central Florida. They went undefeated this year and didn't sniff the national title. Now, Mizzou is not in a place to be winning a national title, but at the very, very least, they have a chance, right? If everything went perfect, they could get there. They've almost gotten there twice in the last 10 years. Whereas Central Florida had just had a perfect season and couldn't do it. See, he's not stealing players. I think it depends on your relationship, because we've seen this. Actually, Nick Saban, because his teams are always so good, his coaches are always hired as head coaches elsewhere. We've seen it turn out well with Kirby Smart, and we've seen it turn out poorly with Lane Kiffin. So it depends on the personality, I think, of the guy. Lane Kiffin was incapable of doing two things at once and going to recruit for FAU and kind of get his program together, but be totally focused on his guys and making sure that he was calling the right game, so much so that he got fired and asked to leave the building right before the national championship. So I think you just make an assessment based on the personality of the coach and your relationship with him, whether or not they can do both those things. But I don't think there's any real fear of him poaching players and taking them down to UCF. That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Okay, I suppose my question would have been more effective if I said in general, so taking the Orlando and UCF not being, an SEC program factor out of it, and whether or not Heupel was liked, which you have said multiple times that you didn't think was necessarily the case. In general, if an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator leaves to go to a head coaching position at another school in between the end of the regular season and the bowl game, in general, is it commonplace for that offensive or defensive coordinator to stick around and coach the bowl game when he is now the head coach in another program?
Yeah, the answer is it's probably commonplace to leave more so, but it's probably a 75-25 split,
okay.
I would say. That is what I'd love to see a study on that, honestly. But I would think it's different when you do have a Scott Frost situation. That's why this one is just a little bit unique. This is why I think Heupel rub guys the wrong way. Where are you going? What are you doing? The team that you're going to take over hasn't even played yet, and what can you really do? You're going to go stay on the sideline while another guy is coaching the team to finish off the season because he wanted to stick around with his players? I mean, Mizzou does feel abandoned. I don't know about the coaches, but the kids. Now, you heard Marcel Frazier. You've heard some of the offensive linemen talk. They feel abandoned by their guys. Glenn Ellerby just didn't show up for a meeting, and then he was gone. You know, that when you have a guy who recruits you and says, hey, man, I'm going to be here for your 4 years. I want to coach you, turn you into an NFL guy, and make you a man along the way, and we'll have a lot of fun and win some games. And then one day you just don't show up for work, and I'll never see you again. That rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah, as it should. It's totally a one-way street how the coaches are able to leave programs whenever they want to for an extra dollar, and the kids are stuck wherever they've signed. None of it's very fair.
I agree with you. And like I said, I think there's something to, like when Coach Odom left to be the defensive coordinator at Memphis, he talked to all his guys. He talked to me. He was the safeties coach. I played wide receiver, and he talked to me. He said, hey, man, here's what I got to do. I'm trying to move up the ladder, and I hope to end up back in Mizzou someday, but here's where I'm going and what I'm doing, and I'm really going to miss you guys. Let's keep in touch. And that's how you handle it as best you can, right? Because nobody wants to stop you from furthering your career. That doesn't make sense. I hope Josh Heupel goes on to be the head coach at USC someday. That would be great for him. I just don't like necessarily the way it's handled. And I don't think Heupel handled it poorly, but I think Ellerbe did largely. And then when you just don't show up, like, what is Glenn Ellerbe doing right now that is so important that he couldn't have coached for another 3 weeks?
Doug, what's Glenn Ellerbe doing?
He's working on three-point stances.
Right. Yeah, exactly right.
TJ, regarding the play calling last night, that was a source of frustration for many Missouri fans. What was your thought?
I think it's unfair to some degree because I think Drew Locke mentioned this after the game, and he's exactly right. Your playbook shrinks to about three plays when you're inside the five-yard line because you can't open up. You don't have time because if they bring the blitz and you've got five-man protection, then you're screwed, and those are the sack fumble type plays, or you got to force it out and you throw interceptions and then they get the ball at the seven. So your playbook shrinks. I mean, we had three plays when I played there. It was like Rhino Wright, which are all of our, for whatever reason, this is sort of why our linemen were crippled when they got to the NFL. All of our run plays were named after animals. So it'd be like Cheetah Wright, Rhino Wright, that sort of thing. And then we had one pass play that we really would run down there outside of our, you know, quick game stuff. It was deuce right high, which was basically two option routes in the middle of the field, and then the two outside receivers run protection routes, meaning they run outside the corners to make sure they keep their attention so that the guys running the option routes, the 10-yard options, don't get their heads knocked off. And that's about the only plays you got. So when you try to, I mean, it just so happens, poor Joe John Finley, his first game ever calling plays is playing against God's gift to the punter world. You know, the guy drops it inside the five every time, and you're like, well, what am I supposed to work with here? So I think it was kind of an unfair shake for him. I mean, you guys saw it. The guy was the MVP of the game. I mean, you're starting with terrible field position. Look what happened the one time that they, to start the second half, they could go and they said, okay, we know we're going to get the kickoff and we're going to be able to come out, 79-yard touchdown. So I'm not saying he called a great game. He didn't. I wanted him to go downfield more than he did. But I do understand that when it's your first time ever calling plays, you can simulate it a million different times in practice, and you can try to do it in the meeting rooms. But when you get out there and things are happening and there's real blitzes and there's guys making plays and dropping balls and fumbling, I mean, the offense was humming twice when Ishwitter fumbled for the scoop and score for Texas and then when Albert O fumbled. Those are very uncharacteristic, like, things. That really puts an offensive coordinator in a bind because every time you start to get into a rhythm with your play calling, you move down the field, well, it's a turnover, and you got to start from scratch.
Yeah. They did have a couple possessions in the first quarter where they started around the 20 after Texas scored. And even then, it looked like they were afraid to do anything.
Yeah, I do think he was ultra-conservative. I think that's a fair criticism, certainly early on in the game. And I just think we're overdoing it to some degree. Like I said, I sent out a tweet yesterday in all caps, go down the field, go down the field, you know?
Yes, please.
But, yes, and you could, but Jamon Moore didn't play very well yesterday. You know, he had multiple drops down the field like he kind of always does. Jamon Moore's a roll of the dice. If he were a consistent catcher, he'd probably be a first or second round pick. I don't think he will be because he had 18 drops last year, and I think more than that this year. I mean, that's like record-setting pace for drops. When you're talking about a guy that athletic and that good who just can't find a way when he's wide open to catch the ball. So you're dealing with that. You're dealing with Drew, who made some bad decisions yesterday. He tried to throw a screen pass to a guy. I mean, it went right. It should have been a pick six. You guys remember the play I'm talking about. The yeah. left side went mm-hmm. right through his hands. Jamon Moore ended up coming up with it somehow. And then, you know, you lose a turnover battle 4-0. And on top of that, how many you handed them their first touchdown. You had two pass interference calls and then decided not to cover the – I think it was Terrez Hall decided not to cover the running back out of the backfield. So it was a lot of blown coverages. And then, again, like I said, I just stay away from betting on these games because you go from kids who pretty much got it to I can't remember how to run a play without – false start, and I can't remember how to read a defense all of a sudden because it's been 5 weeks since you played a game and you haven't been in the meeting room and you're not treating it like football because you're down in Houston drinking a lot.
With Locke, he did have that really nice touchdown pass, but also, as you pointed out, had some problems along the way. did anything happen in the game that you think would impact possibly being drafted? Did he hurt himself? Was there enough where people would look at him and say, that's our guy?
So the thing with Drew is he is more Blaine Gabbert than Chase Daniel. And what I mean by that is Chase was an NFL prospect because he legitimately did every single thing right. He read the defense right just about every time. He was perfectly accurate with the ball. Like, he went out and played and killed it. He was a Heisman finalist. Blaine Gabbert didn't necessarily do all that, but he was just dripping in raw talent, and he was a 10th pick overall. Chase Daniel went undrafted. So Drew is more of the guy. You guys saw that throw to start the second half, first play, 79-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, there are maybe five NFL guys that can make that throw. I mean, there are those type of throws that you see Drew make that you're like, and I saw that his freshman year. He made three or four throws like that his freshman year that really wow you as somebody who's watched a lot of football and been around some really good quarterbacks. And then to continue to progress, his arm's better today than it was his freshman year. So you watch those throws, that is what gets him drafted. It's not, had he gone out and thrown six touchdowns and 450 yards, okay, maybe he leaves on a high note, but that does that really change his last 3 years of film? I don't think so, or it shouldn't, only if you're a stupid scout. So I think overall what you're looking at is a guy who put on film again exactly what those scouts have been seeing, and that's a guy who can make really special throws when he's called upon to do it, but doesn't always read the defense very well, doesn't always make good decisions even when he is reading the defense. Like you don't need to read a defense to decide whether or not to throw a screen. You look at the corner. Did your guy block the corner? If he didn't block him, you can't make that throw. Instead, you try to force him in there. You get lucky that it's not a pick six. So you see that a lot with Drew. You didn't see that much with Chase Daniel, right? And it's just the difference between how you look at the guys.
But you can't teach that arm strength and his ability to pass. I would imagine teams look at him, especially with the lack of really good quarterbacks in the NFL, hey, we'll teach him to read the defenses.
Yeah, everybody says that, but that's so much – like, you either got a feel for the game or you don't. And I'm not saying you can't go in there and get better, because – You guys have seen Jared Goff this year. You guys have seen Carson Wentz this year. There's a significant difference between season one and season two. When Sean McVay got in and really taught Jared Goff how to play, he became a Pro Bowler. So it's not that you can't do it. It's just so much harder than people think. Like, every coach thinks he's the guy that's going to, okay, there he is. He just hasn't been coached by me yet. Well, he's been coached by a lot of good people. Josh Heupel knows how to coach quarterbacks. The guy himself finished second in the Heisman. He knows quarterback. He understands how to read defenses. He understands how to teach defenses. And he has coached some really, really good players himself. So it's not like he hasn't been coached by guys who are competent. He has. It's just that I think he had no clue how to read a defense in high school. And it's kind of been a slow process. And some guys never really get that feel. I'll give you an NFL example. Marcus Mariota. He can't read a defense. Why? I don't know exactly what his issue is, but I know that inside the red zone from the 20-yard line in, you don't really have to read a defense, and he's unbelievable. He's one of the most accurate throwers in the NFL, and you guys have seen his stats. Like, I think going into last year, he was like 33 touchdowns or something, zero interceptions, something ridiculous like that, because inside the 20, you don't have to read a defense because there's nothing complex they can do. They basically fall back, and it is what it is. So you just make an accurate throw, and you're good. But once you get back further behind that, you got to read a defense. He's not very good at that. He throws a lot of interceptions.
TJ Moe with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, giving us his perspective on Missouri's disappointing performance last night in the loss to Texas in the Texas Bowl, wrapping up the 2017 season. Doug, we'll see you again on September 1st at Faurot Field against UT Martin. Good to see that rivalry back.
Yeah. That's a scorching hot rivalry.
Thank you.
I got my tickets already. TJ, you guys better hurry.
TJ, we appreciate it, sir. Thanks so much.
Last thing, guys, 2009, you'll remember the Texas Bowl. Navy came out and trounced us. It was like 35-13, and everybody thought the sky was falling, and our one good player, Denari Alexander, was graduating, and we were going to be terrible. We rattled off 7 wins in a row, beat the number one team in the country, and finished with 10 wins the next year. The sky is not falling. Everything will be fine.
Doug, that's a message directly to you.
Well, it all starts with the Texas Bowl.
Let's see how they do against UT Martin before we get too happy with ourselves.
Thank you, TJ.
See ya.
All right, thank you, Mosey.
TJ on the hard line from 1 to 3 here on 590 The Fan, KFNS. Yes. Iggy, I saw your post. The only thing that can save us, Doug, what was it? Here it is. I think the only thing that will make winter bearable is if we know the real Lisa Ann was coming to St. Louis in 2018 and picking a couple to hang out with. Hashtag Trib, hashtag Swinghaven, hashtag Ballsacks, hashtag the Beer Cats. Is there anything to this outside of just kind of a thought while we were interviewing TJ Moe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a thought popped into my head.
Sure.
It's freezing outside.
It's cold.
You didn't particularly care for the show at that moment.
Well, I mean, you're talking TJ and football and right. Mizzou and
Gridiron.
I bet Texas, so I don't...
You bet Texas? Wow, look at you. Sharp play.
I went with Florida State because I thought, why is it 15? I mean, 9 of their players aren't playing.
You
two are suspended.
You met it.
There's something
the
to
square.
That.
God,
and the same with
America.
Texas. I said, look, how's Mizzou only a 3? I mean, they're missing 9 players. There's a reason for that, so I just went the opposite. So
a lot of
it was
people
lucky.
Say it. When
but
you're
yes.
in the Texas Bowl, you throw the records out the window.
Yes, but I also had Arizona, which way to give up that touchdown late.
I don't even. How did Fox get stuck with having to air that in their primetime schedule last night?
I don't know. That should have been an FS1
I guess it's. I didn't bet it. I had zero interest. Purdue and Arizona, by the way, for those of you. I don't even know where it was played. Cactus, I assume Arizona somewhere, but I don't know. Was it in Tucson or was it in?
Was it one of the bowl venues? Is that one of the bowl venues?
I don't understand.
Yeah, they had different venues.
It was an outdoor venue, so it couldn't have been Glendale. So I don't know what the hell was, but either way, whatever.
Bowl venue.
That was on Fox's primetime schedule. That thing. What in the hell?
Good game, but I don't know why it would be.
It's nice. Maybe it gave some people a night off from KTVI. I don't know. Either way, yeah, I was so high. My favorite bowl game of the entire bowl schedule was Missouri against Texas, and just from the beginning. When they pan to the crowd, I'm like, oh, God, there are people there. But it's not because, ooh, we're excited to see Missouri. It's because, you know, 80% of Texas showed up.
It was there.
And I'm like, ooh, I should have thought of that. And then you saw all the penalties in the first series. I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to be a problem. And there was never even a sweat.
How many days between their last game and...
Doug?
Too many days.
I mean, it's... even if you're doing all the right things with practice, it's really hard
to
stay.
I think
Odom
said 3.5 weeks was... Their downtime, I think, something
like
that.
Well, let's see how the teams that are in the playoffs play. I mean, they've had time off, too.
Texas just played last week, so they're a little...
They didn't play either.
Yeah, I'm not trying to... I'm just saying, generally speaking, it's harder to
TJ's been there. He experienced it. Specifically, I think, again, it's the Texas Bowl, and so it's difficult to compare... And contrast, say, you know, Cotton Bowl, even that, I don't get. I know I'm in the minority on this stuff. I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong. For me, I just don't get worked up about bowl games unless it's leading to something greater. And I realize I'm in the minority on that. That might not make me a quote-unquote true college football fan. So I put that disclaimer unnecessarily out there. With that said, TJ has been there. It was the Texas Bowl. Missouri did play Navy. Now, Navy runs a very unique offensive system, and Missouri, and TJ has said it, he's been very open about it, that they just weren't motivated, that guys were going out during that week in Houston, and he's talking about in 2009. He's not talking about this year. Now, maybe that happened, but that's not what he was saying, and then you see what happened. They got the hell beaten out of them by Navy. And
they had a little jitterbugging signal caller.
Yeah, they usually do. Yeah. And then
were they on the wing T or something like that?
And then the next year, Missouri came out, and as he made reference to, won 7 in a row. So from my standpoint, had Missouri won last night, I would have gone, oh, good, this could really impact the way things go down when Georgia comes to Columbia next year. Or maybe Missouri can go down to Tuscaloosa and stun Alabama. It's compartmentalized. With that said, as I said in the 7 o'clock hour, the leash many fans had for their feelings on Barry Odom was surprisingly shorter to me than I would have expected after they had won 7 games, in particular winning 6 in a row after starting off the season 1-5. So that's why that's surprising to me when you have to go through a trip to Purdue, which again shouldn't be a big deal, but Purdue beat him this year and Purdue was playing in prime time for some reason on Fox last night. And then at home against Georgia, bye week, at South Carolina, at Alabama. at home against Memphis, at home against Kentucky, and at Florida. That's a brutal stretch. That's a brutal stretch for anybody. That's a brutal stretch for anybody. And that's why I'm going, oh, boy, we could be having the same kind of conversation in September and October of 2018 that we were having in September and October of, that we were having this year, that we could be having again here in 9-10 months. And I don't, you know, that concerns me. So, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, but it's just people turned on it pretty quickly. And I have to say, I agree with it because I don't think beating those teams, and it's nobody's fault, I just don't think beating those teams was some, you know, remarkable thing. I would imagine the vast majority of teams that would have had those teams lined up for them would have gone 6-0 themselves.
I don't know that it was just beating them. It was the way they did it.
And I was about to say they beat them in a manner, but they also had to barely beat a team that was firing its coach before the man even got off the football field in Arkansas.
Those are rough pigs down there.
So
it's a turnaround.
I don't know. It was just an odd thing. And we needed at least like one Joe Strauss to balance out what was a balloon party on Twitter. And then last night, the balloon party about Tom Herman celebrating. It's just like gone off the rails. We've got a Fox News, MSNBC, St. Louis sports media, and it's off the rails.
It was kind of a classic Missouri thing, though, where you think, well, maybe they've got it together. This is going to be nice. And then they just kind of lay an egg. That's kind of...
I'm totally blindsided by it. But you're right.
In a nutshell, it happens in almost every sport.
But it bothers me more, for example, I mean, I realize it's somewhat obscure because it's 7 years ago, but TJ brought up the 2010 season. They did beat undefeated number one in the BCS standings at the time, Oklahoma. Team was on a super high. I think they got to top five in the country at that point. And then they go, and you want to talk about laying an egg, they laid an egg against Nebraska the following week, played a terrible game, were beaten up in Lincoln. And then I think they lost to Texas Tech the following week. And that to me is a hell of a lot more significant than losing in the Texas Bowl. And that would be more laying an egg. You're on a high. Missouri beating Kansas to become number one in the country. Then you play a horrible game against Oklahoma the following week. Those have, from my standpoint, a hell of a lot more meaning than these bowl games in which, as Mike Francesa counted off, you have 42 of them, which means 84 teams, assuming that you do have two teams playing in each bowl, and I don't know that.
Usually, sometimes they invite a third in case one of them can't get 11
for
players.
The more popular MMF.
Well, so to avoid any forfeiture issues.
Doug, speaking of bowls, that big bowl Nancy Lopez would have made one hell of a college fullback. Thanks. That's from Mae Young's newborn hand.
She was not that big.
Maybe they're not going to Laura Davies. She probably wasn't a good fullback.
Oh, yeah.
Big she's like a tight end.
More like an offensive
she's
line.
Block.
No, she wasn't going out for any
no,
passes.
You don't think so?
No, that was a run-stuffing D-tackle. There was going to be no downfield stuff for her.
Well, a blocking back, maybe around the goal line, you hand her the ball a couple times,
maybe so.
See what she can do.
Iggy, so is there something going on with this Lisa Ann thing? Anything new?
Yeah, that's what we were...
Oh, we pivoted.
No, I was just killing time.
All right. I thought you were saying something right as the show was starting about one of the potential contestants and a threesome. But the Plowhawk had already started the show open. This is at 7:06 this morning.
Yeah, I said that... Lady Beercats is off for the rest of the week, so she had a chance to listen to the show. She Snapchatted me a picture of streaming the show yesterday, and I said, well, if you got nothing to do tomorrow, call in. So if you're listening, Lady Beercats, call in, because I want to know if you and Beercats would be interested in doing the couples. Would you go out?
Have they said they're in or not? I don't recall.
I don't believe
so. The Ballsacks have, the Swinghaven board member, and I felt like there was another couple.
Texter.
Yeah, who we weren't really familiar with.
But I've never asked the Beercats.
Can you hear me good?
Now, Iggy.
So I'd be curious if she's listening, call in.
Now, Iggy, we've had wonderful promotions at this station.
We have,
we've had
sir.
Holiday parties.
We have, sir.
We've had, right, we've done events for charity. I just can't recall you being this excited about a possible event than this woman coming and dating a couple.
How am I excited? How?
Well, you just sent out a tweet in the middle of the show referencing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but there wasn't any caps in it and any exclamation points.
I didn't see it. I do follow you. I didn't see it, so I didn't know there were if there were caps, then that would have showed excitement.
That wasn't no caps, no exclamation points, no.
That shows you're not that excited about it?
Well, I mean, if it happens,
well,
sure, it'll be fun.
Something that we haven't discussed on the show at all in the middle of an interview, so I thought, yeah, you're excited about it. There's nothing wrong with that, but I just don't recall this because you've brought it up a few times. you would be very excited for this event.
Well, I think a lot of people would be excited. I guarantee you Tim would be excited.
I would be. I'm really enthralled by lesbianism. I enjoy it, and I support it.
I haven't been this excited since the promise that that place was going to bring in the
Olive
greatest
burgers.
Yeah, we never got those, did we? Never saw those.
Yeah, burgers. I was excited there, too.
Yeah,
that didn't happen.
Maybe we should have begged in caps and exclamation points.
No, but I think this will happen. I get excited when we get porn stars coming into town and, you know, with Ariana Marie hanging out with us and not so much Bonnie Rotten.
Jack of Spades. Plowhawk, that's your guy?
Yeah, Jack of Spades. My buddy Devro didn't really give me a great rapport on him.
What did they say? I thought you guys were kind of fast friends.
No, I thought I brought up Jack of Spades, and he goes, "Don't you mean Jack Spade?" And I'm like, "Nah, we're Jack of Spades."
And Jack of Spades. They're two different guys. One has of as a middle name.
But they're both the same gentleman,
yes,
are they not?
Yes, they are. And he said he was kind of a diva and a little weird, and I said I didn't get that vibe.
Now, how could a gentleman who essentially, when he was with us, sat there and didn't say anything. Now, how could he be a diva? What does he do?
Remember your story about the guy who was directing a lot of the, called him Spielberg? I think that's similar to what Jack of Spades does. Well, I'm not 100% sure on that, but he just explained a couple of little stories that
That Iggy ran into at Hedonism, who was kneeling at the foot of the bed while Iggy was sleeping with his wife, would also be a diva. I mean, if we're using that as the definite, I think of a diva as a guy who, when I had hair, was cutting my hair at the Great Clips at Crestwood Mall.
A diva
wants
it his way.
And he was unhappy with how sharp his scissors were.
Maybe selfish might be the right. For me, a diva wants it his way, or his or her way, or the highway.
Kind of a high maintenance person.
And so that's why he kind of pokes in, and, you know, my buddy is trying to produce, you know, a nice scene. And then you got, you know, Mr. of Spades hops in and wants to direct
Irish
himself.
If it was O Spades, so, I think it would be.
That's what I think I meant by diva, is he kind of gets in the way a little bit too
See,
much.
See, this is interesting.
Very interesting.
I wish you guys were like excited. Hey, we're going to have Robert Wool in studio and talk about
Arliss.
I just wish it was something like that. I would feel more comfortable.
It never is.
Never is.
No, it isn't.
Isn't Jack of Spades basically a valet? Just like cleans up the dollar bills off the stage?
Sometimes in the industry they're called suitcase pimps.
Yeah, he is out of the business. He said he kind of just chauffeurs her around from shoot to shoot to strip club and kind of just has a nice little living. But I follow her on Twitter, and her and Jack of Spades have a great, nice house and a great little relationship with a puppy. And
yeah, I'm not sure what he's adding to that income, but he's on stage with the broom sweeping up the dollars is what he's doing.
Guys, it would be a huge growing chapter of the show if Lisa Ann makes it in. Can't wait. That comes from Scott's wrinkled ballsack. Not his wife, but Scott himself.
Oh, what about the guy who played Bull in Night Court? Can we get him in?
Richard Mull?
Richard Mull.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
All right, we'll get him and we'll have a promotion. He'll go to dinner with you. I would just feel more comfortable than talking about the Jack of Spades.
Sweeps up dollar bills. That's his job.
And these guys have so much knowledge.
I didn't know such a job existed.
Yeah, she gets off stage, and there's a bunch of dollars up there, and he gets up there when she goes to backstage, and he sweeps them all up.
No.
Does he have like a little dustpan? Or
probably
does he do it with his hands?
They did. It's a broom and a dustpan. They sweep it into a pile, and they put it into a bag and take it back for her to count.
Remember, Goodfellas?
I hope there's a disinfectant process.
Henry Hill's wife wants to go shopping, and she just does that. I think that's what Jack of Spades does. Like, you know, she needs a stack of like 20 grand. Okay, yeah, he said how much, and she gives him a stack. I think that's what Jack of Spades does.
She doesn't say, give me $200. She says, give me this much money.
She holds her fingers together, indicating the width of the roll that's got to come back.
That's Jack of Spades.
Guys, I wouldn't be surprised if Spinster Iggy gets hitched just to participate in this Lisa Ann couples contest. That's from Pedro Power.
You haven't ruled that out, have you, Iggy? Finding a partner so that you can compete.
He's doing some maintenance over there.
Yeah,
there
spilled some coffee.
All right.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I just cleaned it up.
Because you got to have at least three couples to make it an interesting game show.
Oh, and I think we're going to have more than that.
Well, more than that. Oh, there's paper towels, and I'm using my sleeve.
I don't know if you'll have more than that.
I think other people are
going to be up for that.
Well, we already know the Swinghaven board member, and we already know the wrinkled ball sacks.
Yeah, you got the two.
Yeah, I think we will. For Lisa Ann, I do think.
And
we
we've seen a lot of guys talk their significant others into things such as robin feeding, foot fetishes, things like that. I can see a guy not being totally truthful about what is going to go down in this game, and then you're going to have a couple of couples that have no idea what they're
and
getting
into. And you
think
women will just be fooled by it all.
Maybe at the beginning, but no.
Oh, you tricked me. Now I have to have sex with
And is part of the deal that if something happens, Iggy has to be there watching?
No, I said I would love to watch.
Sure you would.
If it was like me and Ballsack watching Mrs. Ballsack and Lisa Ann go at it, hell yeah. Just
now
sit there and watch.
Now that's a cut correspondent right there. That's exactly what a cut correspondent
would need
would
a
do.
Microphone, do some interviews.
Look, there's
that.
A lot of women that are secretly would love to just hit on Lisa Ann.
Really? You think so?
I think so.
What do you think on that? Give me a percentage.
I think most wouldn't know who she
is.
Well,
I think if we get 10 couples, I guarantee you, there'll probably be three that...
10? You think you're going to have 10?
Yeah, I think we will.
I think there's a chance.
I'd set the over-under
at 7.5. That's where I'll set the over-under.
But out of those 10, maybe 5 would look forward to like going back to the hotel and hooking up. And the other 5 would just... It'd be kind of cool just to go have dinner with a porn star. Without thinking they have to do anything, and they don't. But.
I just got a DM, and I hope it's all right if I say this, but Bobby Bestel has said, "Count us in."
That's not true, is it?
I swear, that's all you can see. It so I have a.
All right.
So
that may keep people away, though.
All right.
We need a sign-up sheet on a website.
Now, Iggy, how would you broach the subject? Like, if they that we have this event, Lisa Ann comes in. How do you broach the subject to get yourself in there? I'm just because that seems like that would be a very awkward situation.
Get myself in where?
To watch. You want to be a spectator for that.
No, if I was asked, I would. I'm not going to bring myself in. Hey, can I watch? No. That'd be creepy.
So you think this couple, that if they participate and win, they would just say, hey, now we invite Iggy. And
let's get some fans up in this here.
Yeah, it'd be like
sell some PSLs.
You know, like they have interns watch operations, just, you know, right. A little staging exactly area right. Where we can watch what's going on.
What needs to be staged? Is the bed over
I'm
there?
Just saying, if say Ballsack said, you know what, I don't want to participate, but Mrs. Ballsack really wants to be with Lisa Ann, so yeah. I'm just going to watch. Iggy, you can come watch if you want. Hell yes, I'm going to go watch.
Okay, he's not going to say
I'm not going to invite myself.
Wouldn't that be a little weird, though, if you're just kind of sitting? I'd feel a little awkward about that.
Not really.
You wouldn't? Okay, I'm asking.
As long as there's somebody else with me.
Because I'm a sexual deviant, Doug, as you know. I think I'm pro-human nature, pro-lesbianism, sapphic play. But if I'm just sitting there with another gentleman like we're sharing a couch, I don't know.
Mm. And I would bet a ton of money that if you weren't asked, you would somehow... try to get in there.
No, I wouldn't.
Somehow.
That would be creepy. I wouldn't ask that.
I have to tell you, we have the phone lines, Doug, have lit up.
Okay. Couples want to join in.
And we don't even have Lisa Ann looked up
yet.
Lady
Beercats is on the line.
Okay.
But look at what just came in here. Now, what is this? Is Mr. Trivers, is that the one you know, Plowhawk?
I know Trivers. I'm more of a fan of Nipsey because I see him more. I think Tribsy's up in Chi-Town. But I do know him.
Here's Mr. Trivers sending in a picture, and he's really not the focus. The last, can you see it?
I can see it. Yeah, that's
a contender.
Is that
though? Because you were saying that one of them has a really attractive significant other. I remember you saying that, but I don't remember. Doug, was it Nipples or Tribbers?
I don't know who
I think
it was.
It's Tribsy, and I remember Tribbers.
He says they are in. He says he just has to tell her about it, though.
Yeah, see, that'll be the issue.
That's what I'm
that'll
saying. There are going to be a lot of those.
Yeah.
And you think going to cause a problem.
And you think they're going to surprise their wives.
Right.
And when they get surprised at this public gathering, they'll all just go right along with it and say, sure, no problem.
At an AM radio station remote.
Hot shots and Fenton. I mean, you're talking about the oldest of money.
It's the Yankee Stadium of hot shots.
That's right. Doug, this is Lady Beercats on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Good morning, Lady Beercats.
Hello, Beersy.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh,
it's wonderful to hear from you. We have a potential scenario in which adult film star, legend, and friend of the show, also very knowledgeable about fantasy football, Lisa Ann is coming to town, and she would like to play a couples dating game. The Wrinkled Ballsacks are in. The Swinghaven board member couple is in. And Iggy, you were wondering if the Beercats would be in. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you and Beercats would be interested in playing the game and being one of the couples that maybe Lisa Ann chooses to go out and enjoy an evening with.
I think I would probably have to ask what is in that evening.
Oh, sure you would.
Beercats is a fan.
Well, that's up to you guys. You make what you want out of it.
Okay.
Yeah. It could involve, I mean, let's be honest, the goal, according to some, is for you guys to get undressed and have Iggy sitting in a wicker chair in the room.
A wicker chair. Wicker.
Yeah. I do believe the Beer Cats family would then be out.
Would you?
That's kind of disappointing.
What if it was rattan Iggy. And not wicker?
I love Iggy, but I don't like people watching.
Don't you?
What turns you off? The wicker?
Good question.
The wicker. Yeah, the wicker, the prying eyes, the
So let me ask you this, because
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's an important little factor right there. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this. If Iggy's not in the wicker chair, and Iggy's not in the room, and Lisa Ann chooses you and Beer Cats to go on this couple's date, would you go?
I don't know. Probably not.
So you lost one of your contestants. You're down to one contestant.
That's disappointing.
No. We had the ball sex and the Swing Haven board member. Now, apparently, Mr. Tribbers, but his wife isn't aware she's participating.
No, so you're still down to two.
I think they live in Chicago, but maybe I'll come down for a two.
Well, and nothing has to happen. That's up to the three people. If you want to do something afterwards, it would just be dinner, cocktails, and if you want to go back to the hotel, that's up to you guys.
Cocktails makes it sound classier.
Yeah, it sure does.
I would definitely do cocktails and dinner.
Well, there you go. Then that may lead to something. Just get the cocktails and you never know.
You're trying to get her drunk now, aren't you?
I'm not part of this.
I'll let Beer Cats go have fun and Iggy, you and I can go have drinks. How about that?
Wow.
Well, it's got to be couples, so. I'm all for that.
What?
It's got to be couples, so Beer Cats can go alone on this couples thing.
After cocktails or something. I don't know, but. I don't know. The older I get, the more I'm just me and Beer Cats.
Really? You're no longer interested in tribbing, huh?
No. Maybe it's the old me being old. I don't know. I'm old, guys. I'm old.
Yeah.
How old are you, sister?
You're not that old.
Yeah, I don't think you're that old.
36.
Oh, God.
You're younger than Lisa Ann, and she's still doing it?
By a decade, too. Yeah. Why? I just disagree with that premise. I really do. I legitimately do.
Well, it really helps when you finally have a teenager in your house, a male teenager in your house, and things really change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
How have they changed exactly?
Well, I have a 13-year-old now, and it's weird. I know how I was as a teenager, so it scares me to death.
Mm. What scares you?
Hey, guys, stay woke.
Doug, you got 30-year-old kids living with you. Haven't you changed?
Well, I've changed because I'm a lot older now.
Yeah, but you've never tripped, right?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't. No.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, come on, Doug. Remember that one time?
Clip that off. It's probably another Miami story. No, Lady Beer Cats, thank you for calling in. I'm sure Iggy will still try to negotiate.
All right, thank you, Beer.
There's a Shrewsbury Seminary student. It seems like he's involved. Shrewsbury Seminary student, did you just send in a picture of your wife?
Yeah, what's up, boys?
Hello, Shrewsy.
Is she aware that she's participating?
No, she's not. Is she? No.
She hates the show.
She's not aware, nor is she participating.
Clousy, that stay woke job was amazing, man.
Okay,
thanks, buddy.
Great. You're getting a little too big of a kick out of this.
Well, anyways, how you guys doing?
Oh, we're fine.
It seems like you're laughing at us, not with us. That's what it seems like.
I do work in Clayton, if you know what I mean.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think he's hiring a kite. So you're interested in being in the game. Is that right?
Yeah, so I didn't really hear the beginning of the segment. What's going on?
Nothing.
God bless America. I don't have the time to explain. Lisa Ann's doing a couples dating game when
allegedly,
she comes to town. Allegedly. And the ball sacks are in. The Swing Haven board member couple. I guess Bobby Bestel apparently is in.
Yeah.
Oh, Drake Bleach, Bestel. But anyways, so... But it wouldn't just be a dating game. It would be like a TMA dating game. You know what I mean? It would be it'd get a little weird.
Now, what does that mean, Doug? What would that mean?
I don't know.
Well,
they're
it means
all
we do
weird.
Contests that are kind of stupid, Tim.
Right. And, I mean, you know, Iggy would probably try to get some stuff going. Tim, you might try to get some stuff going. No disrespect. I mean, that's, you know, it's each his own, but...
We had one dating game.
Well, I mean, it is a couple's dating game with an adult film star. There isn't really much gasoline that needs to be thrown on the fire.
Right.
Well, this is Lisa Ann asking the questions. Not like our last dating game where the girl had nine of her girlfriends there, and Where would you take me for drinks?
Well, and two of them were Larry.
No, she was stuck up. I didn't like her. She pushed me out of the way.
We had people behind a curtain, and everybody knew who they were. They saw him walk behind the curtain.
That's a good point, Eggie.
Thanks, buddy.
Adam.
Doug, what's going on now?
There's no Adam here.
Adam, I got a grill. I know you have a truck. I need help moving it. Please call me. Yeah, I know you have a truck, so please call me, and so you can, I can get it moved. I got to get it moved from West County to South City.
All right, so. Adam sure is listening, and he'll text you.
Right, this is not the training station.
I got a call coming in.
Who is going to? Who is working on this? By the way, I mean, is someone going to do this?
I want to be the host.
Yep, Plowhawk is. Plowhawk is on.
I think it'll be fun.
Doug, break a vodka is the official vodka of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You know what skull means? Cheers in Icelandic.
Yeah.
It's time to settle in. The New Year is here. What are you doing on New Year's?
I don't know yet.
Thinking about having a pony?
I don't have a lot of ponies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know.
Do you have to work that night?
I don't.
Why not just kick back and have some vodka with Tim?
Yeah.
Well,
see if you can figure out what the word is.
Is there a particular brand of vodka or would just any
vodka?
Yeah,
Reka vodka, the official vodka of the morning after.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Reka pairs well with ice and everything else. Reka vodka. Made in Iceland. The official vodka the morning after. Please enjoy Reka vodka responsibly.
Reka, Dougie.
I imagine the Kirkwood Brewhouse will be hopping, won't it, on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, I could see us maybe go to dinner, then go to Kirkwood Brewhouse.
I don't know if we can stay. How late we can stay with the young tiger?
Well, you have to get a babysitter. If you
time for the hot shots.
Just relax at home.
Time for the hot shots email today. Hey, we're giving away this fleece that Doug has already
soiled.
Right.
I didn't soil it.
Tied. Misty Plouffe, Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech and Tunnels 12,000 all have 3 wins. Oh, hey. So, Doug, let's get this clear. Is this backup goalie not good enough for you, boy?
Oh,
is this
no.
little 5'5", steamy, hot 140 pounds of Tendy not good enough for you?
No,
you
he's
puck
not.
Slut? How about you finna add Daddy Padre back on the fan pin there, Dougie? Because you know I am the Blues backup Tendy. Thank you. That's from Daddy Padre using the format of Tunnels 12,000.
He's pretty good.
Daddy Padre, not very good.
She was hot. I mean real hot, but she was my brother's new girlfriend. Dressed to the nines in blue jean shorts, a half shirt and cowboy boots. As the boys were outside playing football, we played a little game of our own. You guys know the one. Flirting, twirling your hair with your fingers and seductive licking of your corner lip whilst trying to see if she's interested. Well, interested she was, and she wasted no time. Oh my goodness, she said. How am I going to get this whipped cream off that I've accidentally put on my exposed midriff?
They've sent this one in before. They've sent this exact email in
before. It's a copy and paste job.
Gotta go, guys. I've got to do some crunches to burn some calories after putting that entire can of Cool Whip to good use on every inch of her farm girl body. I'm out the door, dinosaurs. Bikini model Brittany. See, I can believe everything outside of I'm out the door, dinosaurs. Then I wonder if this is real.
Bikini model Brittany.
Guys, Plaps here. Tim, big news. I just signed a lease for the space right next to the studio. I'm opening a lounge called Flail. All around the room, hanging from the ceiling, will be gymnastic rings. You come in, remove your shoes, pant, and underpant, and we hoist you up onto a set of rings. Then you just kind of flail about, gently kicking your legs around and laughing. Wieners and Bush just flailing in the climate-controlled breeze.
No, we need to hear that. Do they need to
it's
amplify
great for the
that?
Spine and just as fun as the Dickens. We'll have an area off to the side where all the rings are over a plastic tarp because we want to be inclusive to our friends in the incontinence community. Doug, has that sentence ever been read in the English language?
I don't think the words have ever been put together. Not in this language, possibly in German.
Speaking of the incontinence tribe, there's a grand opening special going on until Tuesday. 20% off memberships if you got some leaky pee-pee or sneezy bum-bum.
No.
In the brochure, I've listed that flailers will be no more than a stone's throw away from broadcasting greats Tim McKernan, Frank Cusimano, and Larry Connors, as well as people who broker time slots on the weekend, so they'll get a real glimpse of radio success. Flail, Kirkwood's newest hangout for the cutes. Thanks. That's from Misty Plops.
Misty Plops, assistant program director.
Hey, guys, what do you call Doug wrapped in a fleece blanket?
a fruit roll-up. Nummy, nummy, baby peanut. That's from the River to Pear Yacht Captain.
Awful. River to Pear Yacht Captain.
Holiday greetings from the Pullmans. I hope you like our family photo on the Christmas card. Notice how we're all wearing hot pink 1380 The Woman t-shirts. It's adorable. 2017 was not a banner year for the Pullmans. Despite advice to invest in Bitcoin, I went the other way and lost everything on a startup called joesfantasysoccer.com. The only good news is I won my division. I had a striker from the Newcastle Fancy Boys who led the league in penalty flopping minutes. I received a check for my winnings but didn't cash it. I should have known something was amiss when I noticed it read Bank of Ankle Tat across the top. I had to use old radio prizes to make Christmas work this year. Little Jimmy Pullman got a Fox Sports robot. Little Susie Pullman got a voucher for free Wingy Wingy at a restaurant on the landing that no longer exists. For Christmas dinner, I scrounged up all my suspension specials. The problem is Hot Shots allows only one per visit, so three Pullmans sat in the cold car while one went in for a holiday feast of a burger and tots. Here's to a great 2018. Love the Pullmans.
Love the Pullmans.
Doug, and finally, hey guys, I would like to touch on yesterday's Email of the Day segment, if you please. Firstly, Plops comparing the 590 The Man era to the taint on the TMA timeline was pure genius and he should have won. I voted for Misty Plops. Secondly, I enjoyed the email from Leroy Meadows that was just a quick little shot at Iggy. It seemed like it was a genuine complaint that just got thrown in an Email of the Day batch. It reminds me of the segment from January 27th of last year. Doug, remember?
No, I don't.
Remember? You guys had Wes Kemp on that day, and old Steve Schroeder emailed in with this, quote, "Hey guys, can't wait for the Wes Kemp interview," end quote. Not only did it make it into the read, but you jackasses voted for it, and he won some expired movie passes with it. Keep up the good work. Doug, that's Matt who bowls at Hank.
Matt who bowls
at
Hank.
We have for the Hot Shots email of the day. Who is getting Doug's fleece?
It was a little vile. I reluctantly vote for him because it went over the line, but it did make me laugh at one point. So I'm going Misty Plops.
Yeah, he conjured up an image there that's going to be hard to get out of my head. But I'm going to have to vote for him as well.
Misty Plops has just taken the lead in December and will be in control of his or her own destiny tomorrow. Wow, that's unbelievable. Doug, you and I are not in tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's right.
You're in the Hamptons.
Dentist appointment.
And I am in the Hamptons. But Jennings and Charlie will be in, and they'll have control, really. Misty Plops can win it again.
What a delight to have both those guys.
Both of them. Frank's up next. He does a real show. It's called the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Happy New Year to one and to all. For the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Seamus, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McCurdy. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.